You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his sniper's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey there, guys. How are you? It's TJ, Marco Bill, and Rocky Slavens on this pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Bigfoot Live radio show. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening. We're going to have a special guest coming on tonight. So stick with us. It's going to be, we're going to have Loretta from Rockwell, Texas. And right after that, we've got Alabama checking in with Jesse. But before that, you know, me, Rocky, and Marco wanted to say a few words and, you know, well wishes to all the great fans that we have across the U.S. and around the world listening on iTunes and everything. And we wanted to, you know, take a moment and give thanks for everything that we have. Because, you know, we've gone through an election cycle where the country's being torn apart. And one thing we have between us all is our belief in this creature. And Bigfoot is there, and we know that. Rocky, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I tell you, I walked out in my yard the other day just before the election, and the Bigfoot in my yard, the big, you know which one I'm talking about.
Yep.
My Bigfoot statue that was holding the Trump flag.
Right.
Well, the statue is okay, but they stole my Trump flag. And because they stole my Trump flag, well, that's why he won. Just punish them for stealing my flag. But
that's it. After we left you guys, we had to run off to New York and do that TV show, New to the Street, on Fox Business Channel. And I guess because we weren't immersed in it, we were out in the woods for all those months, weeks. Oh, my God, it seems like forever. Well, I got to the big city, and I've never been to New York before. And we were down off of 57th at a hotel called the Salisbury. They put us up in. And I couldn't believe the election had been over for so long. There were people still protesting. They were out in droves. You literally couldn't drive your car down the roads. And because President-elect Trump, you know, they have to protect him, they closed off streets. And it took, here's what blew my mind. I had to drive a block over, one block over to 56, and it took me an hour to park the car there. I was amazed. I was blown away, you know. But, you know, we've got a lot to give thanks to and for. You know, we have our families, we have our jobs, we have our lives. We're Americans. That's who we are. That's what we do. Everybody here in the U.S. are Americans. We're here because we dream and we aspire to greatness. You know what I mean, Marco?
I sure do. And you know, I mean, one of the things that takes care of, this is a time of year where we kind of all reflect and we take a look through the year. All of us are busy. We get so busy sometimes that we just forget all the other people, the family and friends that we have around us that we just kind of forget. And not intentionally, but just through the busyness of our own, I guess, our own life, our own world. And we kind of, this is the time of year, I guess, when we can come back and kind of reflect on those people. There's a lot of people out here right now, not because of the election, but because they're out of work. They're limited on funds and things. This Thanksgiving and Christmas are not going to be as bountiful as it has been maybe in some times in the past. And there are many people out there that are suffering or unemployment and don't have work. I know there's a lot around me here in California. Mm-hmm. And it's a time of the year, you know, where we open up our hearts and we share with everybody and kind of think about everybody and put that feeling of that spirit. I love the spirit of Christmas coming early. You know, Thanksgiving is where we give thanks for it. Christmas is when we just kind of go out and do the whole thing. My family, I mean, there's things that I haven't said to my family. Sometimes we forget to say things to our friends and to our family that are important. And it's a real bounty this time of year. I mean, I'm lucky. I've got a turkey and ham for tomorrow. And I think most people do, but there's a lot of people out there that don't. There's also a lot of people out there that are ill and sick and not doing too well. And I just remembered that I had family members are going through a really painful time right now. I just had a brother-in-law die here about 2 weeks ago. And but there's a lot of people out there that have these kind of things that are happening. And so I think it's a time that we could reach out, say a little, a little prayer and well wishing to everybody out there that are not doing too well, and wish them well, and wish them the very best of this year, the rest of this year, and next year. What do you say there, TJ?
You know, you hit the nail on the head, Marco. You know, I'm just going to carry on with. You know, I'm grateful for my family and understanding. The things that I do to put bread on the table And I'm thankful for all of our listeners, the Morgans, Zeke and Andrea, Chuck, Jesse, Loretta, our friends in Louisiana, the Stewarts up in Montana, our friends over in Oregon, Josh Wiener, Josh down in Arizona, you know, the people that we met with and we bonded with on the Lax Expedition, and we were welcomed into their house, and they treat us like family. You know, I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm sure I'm missing folks, but I'm thankful for everything that, you know, we have the opportunity to do what we enjoy, our passion for this creature, traveling the U.S. I'm thankful for my father. I'm thankful for, you know, Bigfoot Projects Investments Incorporated. I'm thankful for you, Marco. I'm thankful for Rocky. You know, everybody that's a part of us. Without them, there would be no Searching for Bigfoot or Bigfoot Projects Investments.
They're true, TJ. I just want to go out there and reach out to everybody tonight and say, you know, have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a wonderful Christmas. And we wish everybody the very best. Back to you.
Hey, Rocky, if you would take a few minutes here and kind of talk about the time we spent together here in the last couple weeks and what you thought, what you felt, things you saw. You know,
well,
explain to our listeners.
The fact is, why not just talk about all the time that we spent together?
Fair enough.
Me and the Swede used to spend so much time out in the woods, just me and him. Me and my brother, back when we were kids, we spent so much time out in the woods. Well, you know, we grow up, kind of grow apart. Not me and the Swede, but, I mean, we didn't grow up or grow apart. But we just don't have enough time. We don't spend as much time together. And, of course, I went out with Tom and all that, and I had a great time and all that. And then, you know, when you started, when we all of us started going out together, it was just like a whole new family. And I am thankful for that, because, you know, we have the same interests. We have a great time. There's no argument. It's camaraderie. That's exactly what it is. 100% of the time.
Indeed.
If we see something, you know, if we don't see something, the feeling for each other is still there. I mean, the whole team. It's changed a lot in my life, because, you know, like I say, at one time it was me and the Swede, and,
right,
you know, then y'all came along, and then, you know,
we wrote this song.
I have friends.
Yeah. You know, there was so much, how do I say this, so much dissension between folks in this business. You know, there's all the little cliques. And I, you know, after traveling the U.S. and meeting and going, you realize that if we all got together and we all worked as one, we could probably solve this mystery. But there are so many folks out there that are in it for themselves. And I guess that's okay. You know, the people that we have met traveling the U.S., they all want the same thing happen. They want it proved that what they saw wasn't fantasy, fake, or fiction, you know? And that's why we do it. You know, I mean, I could stay home and get a 9-to-5 job and do my thing. You know, so could you. You got a business. But we all seen something, and we want to prove it to the world that, well, we're not nuts. You know, think about the age of discovery. If we just went, it's okay. No biggie. I saw that. I don't care about proving it to nobody. Where would we be now? Nowhere. You know, where would Christopher Columbus be? Where would Cortez be? Where would the Pilgrims be? Nowhere. Oh, the planet's flat. Don't worry about sailing across it. You know what I mean? We're here for a reason. And, you know, something, I wouldn't give it up for the world.
The thing of it is, we all run together.
Yeah.
We all get along. We meet good people. And the people that we meet aren't haters. They don't, hate us because we may be a little bit more knowledgeable about something, or because, you know, they may hate us because we don't have to put a costume stuffed full of pig in the freezer. And, you know, I don't hate them. I don't like them, but I don't hate those people. I think if everybody would, if the whole bunch of us, the whole Bigfoot community would get together, like us, there's no one of us knows it all. Everybody knows what they know, and we combine it. And even though we haven't put the proof positive out there for them, we have for us.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I was there. I handed Rick Dyer and Matt Whitten the money. And I have to be honest, I was very angry in the beginning.
Exactly.
I like I told you, Rocky, I was in my vehicle driving back to Georgia. I was going to do some strange things to them. But you know something? I forgive them now. I don't hold a grudge with them. You know, I was stupid. We were stupid. We were so caught up in the passion that,
you know, you were stupid. You were believing.
Exactly.
That's what it was. You were trusting. You weren't stupid. You were trusting.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Well, you know, it's one of those things you expected people to do. You would do them.
Exactly. And we're so used to people helping us, taking care of us, and being straight up with us. And that's what happened. You know, I have forgiven. I have forgot. You know, I don't wish harm anymore. You know, I want the community to get together. I want the community to get off the internet and start working together so that we as a community can figure this out. I mean, there are folks that are out there trying to do good. You got Rick Turriolo, you got I've heard of some guys named Shaw, and you got people out there that are working hard, but they stay on the internet and they react to what's said there. You know, you have to get out in the woods. You have to get up, feet up, boots on the ground. You have to follow up and lead. And that's what we do. And that's what I enjoy. The people that we hang out with, the camaraderie between us, we're brothers. You know, just like when I was in the military, you know, in the Ranger Battalion, we're brothers. We take care of each other. We may not follow the same path, but we all understand.
Well,
you know, Rocky.
One of the things that I'm really thankful for is the fact that I have known and befriended three generations of Tom Biscardis.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, that's no kidding.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't know where we're at in this show. I've kind of lost my train of thought. Marco, is our guest ready, or can we continue?
He's ready. He's ready. Let's go.
Let's go to commercial, and we're coming back with surprise guest. You guys will figure out who he is, with Loretta in Rockwall, Texas.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotti and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And we're back, and let's go out to Tom. Hold on. Yeah, I'll mute you, Tom. Here we go.
By the way, we've got an interesting show here. Wow.
We sure do.
You got Loretta from Texas.
Yes, we do.
Super duper. Let's go out there to Texas and talk to Loretta. Loretta, you there?
Hi, yes.
Good evening, dear. Thank you for joining with us tonight.
Well, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Now, I think did you get a hold of us when we were out there in Rockwall?
I did. I had heard that you all were in town, and it was kind of late, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have known, and I decided to go hunt you all down. Just like you all hunt Bigfoot, I hunted you all down.
Oh, honey, I remember you. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, yes. You came where we were staying, and the girl called me, and we came out to say hi. And then
yes.
I introduced you to my team. I stood with you for a couple of minutes, and then I let them sit there and listen to the stories. And I guess you guys traded stories that night, right?
Yes, yes.
As a matter of
really
fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. This gal had my guys up until after midnight. She's so compelling. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, Loretta. By the way.
It's good to see you. Hear you again, too. It was nice to meet you all that night. I really, my main objective when I went over there is I just thought, you know, I am going to go meet with these guys because it will be just wonderful to tell my story to people who will actually believe me.
Yes, and I've got to tell you something. Now, wasn't that your grandson that I met, and daughter, or son-in-law, daughter-in-law?
Yes, it was my daughter and my grandson and my son-in-law, and they found you guys at the restaurant. They just happened to be eating there, and they saw your truck, and my grandson, he's 6 years old, and he has just been so enthralled in Bigfoot the last maybe year and a half, 2 years. He's been doing reading on it and watches the TV shows and any documentaries, and he was really excited when he found out that his grandmother had actually had an occasion to see Bigfoot.
You know, Loretta, I got to tell you a story. I think there was 11 of us having dinner that night, and people kept coming over for autographs and photos, and your grandson was so cute, and he's in some books and stuff, and he says, "Oh, Mr. Biscardi, Mr. Biscardi." I said, "No, call me Tom." And he said, stood up on the chair, and we took pictures together. I'll never forget that. And I think I gave him a movie or two.
You did. And he's so excited.
Yeah. That is so cool. Listen, I just, so much has transpired since we saw you. But at the same point in time, I want you to tell my audience out there around the globe exactly what happened to you when you had your encounter.
Okay.
You got the stage, girlfriend.
Okay. Well, again, it's really nice to talk to people who actually will take my account and consider it the truth that it is. It happened in 1978, outside of a small town in Indiana, and I was with probably five or six friends, and being from a small town, just kind of driving around looking for things to do. And we drove right outside of town, and there was this old, almost like a mansion to us, but an old house that had been vacant for a long time, and none of us had ever been in it or down there. And we just decided, hey, let's go check it out, right? Let's explore. So we have to walk down this dirt road path, not very wide, probably wide enough for two people to walk down. And there's a tree line all along the side of you. We're probably walking, I'm going to say, a mile to get from where we had to park to the house. And we're just walking down there, and it's still daylight. But as we're coming back, most of my friends chose to go back probably 15 minutes sooner than one friend and I. We decided to stay and continue to explore. So the rest of the gang started to head back. We're probably there another 15, 20 minutes or so, and it's starting to get dark, so we decide, well, we need to head back too. So we start walking down the trail. Now, the trail going back to the car is all tree-lined, but it's all thin trees, thin, tall trees. And so you can't see back there. It's all brush and whatnot. So we're just walking. Also, we hear this swishing. Probably, if I had to guess, it might be 5-6 feet into the brush. And we hear it, but we can't see anybody or see anything, and we're just assuming it's our friends who are trying to now scare us. So we're sitting going, okay, they're going to try to scare us. And so we decide we're going to get to the car before they can actually scare us, and we're going to scare them. So we start to kind of run to the car, but we can hear this breaking of the trees and swishing kind of right alongside of us. Like it's four or five people is what it sounds like, which is the group we were with. And all of a sudden my shoe's untied, and I have to stop running to tie my shoe. And as I bend down to tie it, that sound just breaks toward to the road that we're on, and it breaks through those trees, and it is just this huge. Again, it's about twilight now, so it's a little dark. I can't see real well, but it's this huge 6 to 8 foot height, as wide as two big men, just standing there. And I'm literally just frozen. I just can't move. And we just, like, made eye contact. It's staring at me, and I'm staring at it. And I really can't quite remember what it looked like, I think, because I was so locked into the eyes. But I remember how big it was. I remember it was how dark it was. And it just stood there. And we just stared at each other, it seemed like, for the longest time. And then at some point, my friend just says, "Hey, run." And he grabs my arm, which jogs me out of that frozen state I was in. And we just start running. And the weird thing is like, it was very manlike, but at the same time not. I knew that much of it from my conscious mind. Didn't know what it was. And when we got back to the car, there were our friends, and we're kind of getting ready to tell them all about it, and they all just start looking at us like we're crazy. And it was weird. We had like this subconscious meeting of the minds where we just kind of looked at each other. We didn't say another word, and we never talked about it again. And it was like I saw him every day at school, and it was just one of those surreal, weird moments that you never, ever forget. But it's like we just never, ever mentioned it again. What was that? You know, and again, we had no idea of what Bigfoot was, never heard of a Bigfoot. And so just that was just something I never mentioned to anybody. And then years later, you know, moved to Texas, and I'm raising my kids, and now it's in the 80s, I don't know, 85, 86, and all of a sudden you get all these documentaries and people talking around the world about experiences they've had seeing Bigfoot. And as I'm watching these, it seems like that they've had my experience. The way that, you know, I wasn't afraid of this Bigfoot or this thing that was standing in front of me. I didn't really feel fearful, like it was going to come at me and grab me or do anything to me. I was just astounded at what it was and how big it was. And that, you know, it's just kind of that thing where they stare at you and people talk about it and they talk about the height. And I just thought, you know, their experience sounds a lot like mine. And so I just thought, you know, I must have seen a Bigfoot because I knew it wasn't a bear. I knew it wasn't a man. I knew what it wasn't. I just didn't know what it was.
Well, let me, if she dials back down, let me just pick up with her.
Yeah.
I was going to tell her, you know, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, ladies and gentlemen. She's had one of the most prime examples of an encounter that so many of us have throughout the years.
Hey, Tom, TJ.
Yeah, Marco.
TJ. Yeah, we lost Tom.
Okay, no problem. You know, that was a great story. I want to thank our guest from Rockwell, Texas. He, it was amazing. Marco, why don't we go to a commercial, come back with Jesse, and I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Here, yes.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back, and here we go.
All right.
We're going to go out here to Alabama, and we're going to talk to our friend Jesse. Jesse, how are you tonight?
Fine. How are you? I want to thank you for letting me come on your show and tell my experiences of what happened to me over the years.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, Jesse. Tell you what, let's go back to some of your first experiences and just kind of work your way up to the present day. How's that?
That's fine. I'll give you my first one.
Sure.
I was about 12. A cousin and he was walking through a neighbor's old grown up field, and it's got what we call sage straw grew up in it. And when we was walking through there, something like a horse I heard jump up off the ground, and my cousin stuck his arm in my back and hollered, "Run, run, run, run!" So I didn't know I heard something, but I didn't know what it was, you know. So I took off running, and I didn't know where he was holding onto my back or pushing me as we was running. And we run about 16th of a mile, probably. And the neighbor had a big fence, a rabbit wire over it, and he went over it like a squirrel going up a tree. And I didn't see anything, you know, so I clumb over it, and I asked him when I got on the other side, I said, "What was we running from?" He said, "I don't know what it was." Said it was a big old hairy monkey about 8 foot tall. I said, "A what?" I've never heard of no Sasquatches or nothing like that, you know. And he said, "Yes," said it was a big old hairy monkey about 8 foot tall. But all I heard on that encounter that time was just like a horse jumped up off the ground. It said, "Bloop, bloop, bloop." And that's all I heard. And he saw it, but, you know, I didn't. And then my next encounter was an actual sighting of probably 10 foot from me. Me and a girlfriend was in a subdivision that they was a building, and it happened the road hadn't been paved or anything, and we was parked out there one night, and we was laying out in some pine trees where the pine straw had fell real thick and all on the ground. We was laying there on the ground, and I wasn't thinking nothing about no Bigfoot or nothing like that. That was entirely not on my mind. So this thing was a hollering up in the woods, and before we went up to where we was at, and she asked me what it was, and I said, "I don't know. I've never heard nothing like that. I heard a lot of strange things because I always lived in the country." So anyway, we was laying there, and it come up beside of us, about 15 foot away from us. I saw it coming up, and it was slunched over, swinging its arms, and its arms went down just about past its knees. Then it turned and walked directly in front of me where our feet was at, looked straight, stood up, looked straight down at us, and just stared for just a few seconds, turned back around, and walked off into the woods. And when it was about 50 foot away, I looked at her, and I said, "What in the world was that?" She said, "I don't know. Let's get out of here." So we left. We got in the car, and we shined the lights all around in the air. We couldn't see no trace of it whatsoever. And that was my second encounter of it. So on the years went on, you know, and this is coming straight down in a sort of a straight line over the years. And then I moved on the backside of where we originally lived from, further south, and me and my wife was coming home one night, and it was a odd 9-10 o'clock at night, and this big dark shadow run across the road in front of us, and it turned and went off down through in a swampland. So when we got on down the road about less than a quarter of a mile and pulled into our house, we heard it sound like a horse going through the woods behind the house. And that was a third encounter that we've had on it. And then I've had some satins of things that it done about 3 years ago across from my house. Me and my grandson, we go out and pick huckleberries and, you know, just eat them, just walking through the woods and eating them. And we come up on a huckleberry tree about, I guess it was 10, 11 foot tall, and there was about six trees that had the tops broke out of them right there, just right there around that thing, broke out about 6 foot tall, the tops broke out of them. And, well, I got to looking around, and I found one footprint in a little muddy swag there, and it had like the one of its toes was broken coming out on the side, and the footprint was probably 15, 16 inches long, and, you know, it was in about that range. I didn't measure it, but I figured it was, you know, somewhere in that range. And then this year I done some clearing behind my house, and I got to noticing a big maple. The tree was about the size of a 5-gallon bucket, and it had limbs up in the top of it that was about the size of a big size peach can that they sell peaches in, you know. And the limbs was broke off. So I said, "Wonder what that is." I said, "There's been no wind." So I walked over and I looked at it. And I said, "Well, I don't know what done that." And so I said, "Well, I'll go out this other way and go on this power line right here." So I walked away from where the tree was and started out toward the power line. Well, yeah, I come up on two trees that something had got between, pushed them apart down on the ground, and it had footprints and the handprints on the trees all around it. And there was one left foot where he put it on one tree, and where he held it with the other hand on the other tree while he tried to push that one down. There was four trees pushed down going in different directions, so there was no wind that did that. And those are my encounters with, you know, I think it's following me around and, over the years, you know.
But, well,
I'm not afraid of it.
No.
I know it exists.
It wasn't aggressive at any time towards you, was it?
Tell people about it. You know, they think you're crazy, you know, but we're not crazy because, like I said, that time that I had encountered it when I had a girl there with me, it wasn't no monkey business on my mind about a monkey, you know, or whatever the thing was. And it was about, I think it was a female. It was about, the moon was real bright, and it was like one of the nights where you, it's almost daylight, it's so bright. And it was about 4 foot across the shoulders, had a big old flat nose, had a big mouth, big eyes, and had like a horned owl, the feathers that grows out of horned owls,
yeah,
eyebrows that come up, you know, up off of it.
Uh-huh.
And it had a V neckline, and it was gray or white, I don't know, you know, where it was gray or white, because it was, like I said, it was, you know, nighttime, but it was real bright. And I don't know if it was black, red, or brown, but I did, you know, I could distinguish what it looked like, but I couldn't, you know, tell colors,
right,
other than the white or the gray on its chest there. But I, like I said, I think it was a female.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you described this, it was about an 8-foot creature, huh?
Yeah, it was about 8 foot, and it weighed probably 450, somewhere along in there, 500.
Yeah.
It couldn't have went over that.
I understand. And then, it looked like a football player with shoulder pads neck.
Its head was like shoved down in its shoulders, you know, and it was real husky built, you know. Like you just stuck a football helmet on a big, broad football player, and it just sat right on his neck.
Yeah.
But
when you describe the face, That was kind of interesting as well. Now, was the face hairy?
It had hair on its face, but it wasn't completely hair, you know.
Right. It just had hair on it.
Yeah, it was still hair, you know. You could see.
Yeah, and it was kind of more human looking.
You could see it. I don't know about that now.
If you look at an ape has got a snout and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you look at a chimpanzee, still has that kind of a snout.
Yeah.
It's a flat face, but it's kind of a snout, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this one had a flat face, you know, and it didn't look like orangutan. It didn't look like.
What I mean by human, in other words, it wasn't an ape-looking creature. It was more human-looking, but a flat face kind of a thing, right?
Similar to something like that, but it wasn't human.
But it has its own. Obviously, it has its own.
Yeah.
Its own features. Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't human. I don't know what it is, but it
no,
wasn't human.
No, I understand. You also described the arms. And that the arms were like past the knees, real long.
They were down past the knees, and it slunched over and swung them as it walked.
Right.
And it walked in a strad like.
Yeah.
And it didn't take it long when it walked in front of us, and then just three or four steps, it was 50, 60 feet away from us. I mean, it was gone.
Yeah,
but
they grow pretty fast.
Yeah, it didn't run or nothing. It just walked off, you know.
No, it has a very large gait.
Yeah, that's what I say. Strad was you know, a long strad, and you know. But like I said, I'm not afraid of it, and I know it exists.
Yeah, it wasn't aggressive at any time when you seen it, right?
No, like I said, the first time when me and my cousin seen it, or he seen it. When it jumped up out of that, it was asleep laying there in that grass, and we walked right up on it.
Yeah, I've seen that. We've had reports of that before where people have walked up on it, and it was sleeping and got within about 10 feet of it, and it just scared the heck out of me. It jumped up.
Yeah, that's what it does. It sounded like a horse to me, but like I said, I've never seen it, but I heard it when it jumped up, but boom.
Sure.
And if it would have wanted to stand, you know, been aggressive, it would have grabbed both of us and beat us in the ground right there.
Because
there wasn't no way, you know, something that big you could have got away from.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said,
the most recent one, you said that the trees were just snapped off at the top.
Oh, that was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I understand.
Across the road, but my last sighting was one right here behind my house where it pushed the trees over, and it had footprints in the moss and footprints where it stomped the trees down, you know, mashing them down. It must have got mad at me because I went down there and cleared off all of that old undergrowth that was, you know, getting out around my trees, so I must have disturbed his food or something. I don't think he quite liked what I done that time. Like I said, I know it exists, and I know it's out there. And like these people that has these shows, goes out in the woods and beats on trees and screams and hollers, you're not going to ever find it like that. You're scared.
Common sense tells you that, right?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Especially if you got a full movie crew with lights and cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're going to come out of the woods and, put on a show for you.
you're not going to ever find it like that. If you're ever going to find it, this is where you're going to find it. It's a nocturnal creature.
You got it.
It only roams around in that, and that if you're lucky enough to catch it in the daytime, it's like, you know, like when it was kids, walked upon it while it was asleep. If you're lucky enough to see it, you'll never encounter it. I wouldn't never think so in the daytime unless it was, you know, desperately starving or something, you know, without having to get out in the daytime to find something to eat or something.
Sure.
But
what we think, Jesse, is this. We know it's nocturnal. Usually, in the hours, the premium hours that we've been researching here for the past 10 years has been About 9, 10 o'clock at night to about 4 or 5 in the morning. And
the times that I saw it, the two times the shadow that I saw was about 9 or 10 o'clock, and then it was about 9 or 10 o'clock to when it walked up on us that time.
Well, the reason that people see it during the day, we've had a lot of day sightings as well, but the reason they do is we believe that we don't know everything, as you may understand. This is just based on our own conjecture, based on our own experience and information we've gotten from other people and what we've seen. And basically what we think is they usually hang around in family pods. In other words, they're not a solitary creature usually. They usually hang around in small family groups, right?
Yeah. I've never, encountered other than just that one that I actually saw and then the shadow. So, I don't know about, if they go in groups. But I know every fall they travel through certain areas, and that's their feeding grounds or their migration path or something.
You got it. That's
because it started probably within a 5 or 6 mile straight from where I live at. All of the encounters I saw was, about 5 miles away from me, and it's coming this way, all of them. And then this one this year right behind my house, and I know that's what it was because, like I said, and it's fur on his feet and hands and all is acidy or something on their hands and feet. It killed every bit of the moss where it put its foot again in the trees and made its perfect hands and footprints on them.
Wow.
And all of the stuff is gone except for one tree that's been laying away from the rain.
Yeah.
We got the footprint on it, and the footprint's about, I'd say, 15, 16 inches long.
That's about right,
Yeah, and I took a picture of it, and I took pictures of another part where it had its hand on the other side, but it had already deteriorated enough to where it wasn't shut. You could see it visibly with your eyes, but when I took a picture of it.
Yeah, it's hard to see. Well, it's hard to take a picture of some of that stuff because in your eyes can determine that.
Yeah.
But when you try to take a picture of it, it doesn't necessarily come out as clear.
Well, you can see a perfect. I've showed it to other people, and you can see a perfect barefoot left foot where it had the ball of its foot, and then it went up the side of its foot, and then it shows the heel, the side of the bottom of your foot going up your heel. Then it showed the ball of your foot, and then it showed the toes. And then it even poured the toes coming out of the ball of your foot, It even showed a divider there where it put its foot again and separated, where it put its toe again. And it had a gap between its toe and the ball of its foot.
Sure.
I mean, it's perfect. It looked like you placed it on the tree there. And it was about 5 foot up in there because I used to be 5'11", but I've shrunk over the years.
Yeah.
it's about right up to my neck, and that would have been about 5 foot. So I'm about 5'7" now, and like I said, I shrunk over the years. And but it was up, just about 5 foot off the ground, the foot and the handprints, all of them, except for the ones where they stomped the trees over and stepped on them, mashed them down on the ground, but it's out there. All got to
do. I tell you what I'd like to do is, one, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'd like you to stay if you don't mind. We're going
to
be
For you to let me come on and tell this because I have no reason to lie about it.
I want it
found.
Sure.
To prove other people out there that called you crazy, over the years, people don't really believe stuff till they actually see it. So,
well, we got a kind of a special treat tonight. We have a report from the field. We have our what we call our SFBI team, our Searching for Bigfoot
Yeah.
Incorporated team is out on expedition right now, and they're going to be doing a report right from the field where they're at, and they're going to be telling us about what's going on in their area. We also have two other guests that do research. They got the same as you. They started looking at things, and pretty soon they became a part of our Bigfoot family, and now they do full-time research on their own in their areas, and they give us a little report every week. What we'd like to do.
I think if I had a night vision camera when fall come, I could probably
eat it.
Because I'm sure that thing's, you know, followed me all over for this many years.
Oh, I believe it. And what I was going to try to tell you before is when we say that they hang around the family pods, that doesn't mean you
either,
see them.
Either it lacks me or something. I don't know what it is.
Well, when we say they hang around in family pods, they hang around in family pods. However, they don't travel around
where
you're
going to
see them. Normally, they have what they call sentries.
They don't bother me. So.
No, they have what they call like sentries, right?
Yeah.
And they keep an eye on things and go around. And we've had instances where, we've had visual contact with one. And then when we got close to it, to where they thought they were in some sort of danger, they would throw large rocks. I think the rocks would come from the opposite side of where we had a visual on the other creature, and the rocks would not hit us, but they would come very close.
Yeah.
And that was a warning to us to get the heck out of Dodge get away from it.
That's what I think this was here behind my house when I cleared off this the brush and all out around the trees right behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a warning down there, you know, that this is man, stay out of here.
Sure.
And that's what I think that part was, you know. Like I said, I don't think it would hurt you, you know. But,
normally not. I think the only time it would hurt anybody is like we would do.
If somebody threatened
our family our children or our family or something, obviously they'd protect it. Yeah, but one of the other things that to be aware of is, they make layers, which are they take this branches of trees and things, and they make bedding out of it, bedding areas out of it. They also,
I think around here,
take me in pair six.
It also what they do, Jesse, is they. You'll see what they call, we call tree twists, okay?
Yeah.
And that, you'll see about 6-8 foot up, see branches
that's
twisted.
That's why these 4 or 5 up here, that, like the tops have just run down, and, you know, it broke out, wasn't broke all the way off, it was just twisted the ground and broke.
Yep.
And that was about 4 or 5 of them right there. I guess because we was eating his huckleberries and running a bit.
Sure.
Wanted to get out of there. Didn't want to mess with them.
Yep.
I
want to thank you for coming on tonight. And also I'd like to ask you to stay online and listen to the rest of the show. And at the very end of the show, we're going to have about a 10-minute period where everybody can ask questions. You can ask questions, or maybe somebody wants to ask you a question as well. Some of the other guests. Could you do that?
I'm going to have to let you go tonight because...
you got to get up early.
I got to get up, but my mother passed away when I talked to you yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
And I keep my word. When I tell you I'll do something, I'll do it. So
we'd like to
call you back to that. You know, I'm with a sad heart, but...
Yeah, well, Jesse, I want to tell you something. We send out a big prayer for your mother, and we got a lot of people on here that'll send out some prayers and well wishes to you.
Well,
keep in contact with you. You can keep in contact with me anytime.
Okay, she had a wonderful life. She lived almost 100, so.
Well, that is pretty good. I just lost my parents here not too long ago, too.
Yeah,
I know what you're going through. It's not an easy thing to lose your parents.
No, it's not. But I want to thank you anyway for letting me come on tonight. I've been wanting to tell people this for years, but like I said,
well, I appreciate you coming on.
People out there shouldn't be afraid of this thing and shouldn't intimidate it. Just go and search for it.
Well, thank you much, Jesse.
All right, and you have a good evening.
You have a good night, and God bless, okay?
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, TJ, here we are, buddy. I'm sorry I lost time. I got carried away.
Yep. Well, but thank everybody for listening in, and Rocky, Marco, and everybody else. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Spend it with your family, with whoever it counts, and Miss Calabash, wherever you are, keep searching.
Good night, everybody.
In August 2008.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're rolling together.